As we feel safe enough, if we are open and kind of setting the intention to keep growing and listening and attending to the unhealed or wounded or unresolved or questioning parts of ourselves or the old stories operating in our lives, consciously or not. Things begin to rise to the surface. We start to notice a story that we couldn't see yesterday, or we start to recognize an old familiar story and see how it's operating in our life in a way that we didn't even realize was at play. We have to feel safe enough, though, for this to happen. And safety isn't a one-time thing. So we feel safe enough, maybe something comes to the surface, we attend to that. That leads us to the next thing and the next. We do this slow and steady. Faster isn't better. But as we go, we begin to experience more freedom. And this inner sense of freedom spills over into every other area of our life, our work or creative dreams, our relationships. Our relationship with self. And and just, we just keep growing, stretching, and becoming, and just walking in greater freedom, wholeness, and joy. I'm Krista O'Reilly Davidegee, founder of alifeinprogress.ca. I offer my work as a writer, grief and trauma-informed mind-body coach, and joyful living educator. I often mention that my work centers on the experiences and needs of midlife women. And when I talk about midlife, I'm taking that, a little broadly, and I'm thinking about women who are edging up towards the 40-year-old kind of midlife crossroad, all the way towards their second summer, which for many begins in somewhere in the early 70s. So my work kind of spans late 30s to early 70s. It's a beautiful mix of wisdom and life experience. More broadly, my work is for freedom seekers, truth tellers, and stubborn questioners, highly sensitive souls, slow movers, and non-hustlers, the anxious, grieving, weary, and healing, reforming people pleasers, perfectionists, performers, and peacekeepers, and otherwise brave, messy, curious humans ready to quiet the conditioning and noise to reclaim freedom, wholeness, and joy. I'm glad you are here. So today I am wrapping up the current season. The kind of broad or overarching focus or theme for me has been quiet the noise. And I'm preparing for the next season. The next season is about old stories, new possibilities. And I am excited to welcome some guests for this next season. So today we're kind of bridging the gap a little bit. Bridging the gap between kind of quieting the noise and then recognizing the old stories at play in our lives. And how to write or open up to a new possibility. So I'm going to share a few things that have been emerging for me. It's not, but the point is not to tell you what's up in my life. It's to help you recognize how you can become more conscious of the stories or patterns at play in your life, bring compassion to them, and start to walk out a new possibility. I'm going to be touching on something that I have talked about before. So the very first season, maybe even the first two seasons, I framed these podcast episodes through the framework of self-awareness, self-compassion, and perfect action. I kind of got away from that, but it's always running in the background of my mind. I just wanted to kind of make things a little bit looser in the format. But I'm circling back there for a reason. So in my work for years, by the way, I was aging myself. I tend to age myself, but I also aged my business. I kept thinking that at the 10-year mark, and really I'm only at the 9-year mark. So that was interesting to realize. Anyway, for the past 9 years, and before that in my personal life and more casually, I was doing some casual work with people. But anyways, I would use a what I call sh a shift your experience exercise. It's something that, different coaches come to work with me or check out my membership and stuff. And I know that many people use a variation of this exercise in therapy and coaching situations, etc. The language might be slightly different, but the reason it's used so widely is it works. And like many wonderful tools, they only work if we apply them, and we apply them consistently. And the more that we work with an exercise or a model, it becomes more and more second nature or ingrained. So this shift your experience exercise that I offer up in my Brave and Beautiful membership community, for example, and I model it with clients. So how to apply it, how to use it in their precise circumstance or area of struggle or the question they're holding about a situation in their own life. Even though, so I'll explain what I'm talking about. It's a little more challenging because you don't have a visual. But essentially, we kind of identify, so there's some kind of friction or anxiety or issue that isn't working for us in our life. The process walks us through 5 steps. I'm just going to actually pull it up for myself here in front of me. So first, we describe the situation. We try to just keep it neutral because I've mentioned before that, a situation is neutral until we attach meaning to it. So it doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It just means that 5 different people could attach 5 different stories to it, or we attach meaning differently to the same situation. Just like the same car accident we're all involved in, the police could come and question all of us, and each one of us would have a slightly different take on what happened. Different perspective, different point of view, different emotional response that colors the way we describe the situation, etc. So, step one in the shift your experience model is describe the situation as neutrally as possible. Then we're going to look for, okay, what's the story or the thought that's coming up? So that could be a thought, a story, a belief about self or life. Identify the emotion or feeling we're having. Identify the body sensation or experience we're having. And then notice what is our action? What or does our behavior rather, or what action do we take that comes out of this thought, feeling, body experience? And then I take it a step further than some people do, and I like to take the longer view. If I continue in this pattern, if I keep cycling here and I don't change this, what's a possible long-term outcome? So that's sort of the one side, is that we bring awareness to our current pattern. And then I think it's incre well, I know it's incredibly helpful to establish safety. If we don't feel safe in our body or life, we can't see a new possibility. So it doesn't help to just bring awareness to a situation if our inner critic is ripping us apart, or we are bullying ourselves, or we are continually listening to voices that shame us, for instance. Those things pull us out of safety, and then we tend to like dig our heels into those old patterns. So we need to bring compassion and curiosity to what's happening so that we feel safe enough to hear wisdom and truth, or to be able to explore a new way forward. That's a critical step. And so in my work, I will continually reinforce that with clients or with community members, just like I do for myself, or just like I would do with my child or my friend when they're struggling. So, self-awareness, self-compassion, imperfect action. So, the imperfect action is the other part of this exercise, part B. And that's where we start to open up to a new possibility. Now, I will say here that, when I touched on the thought, story, belief, often there are layers of stories happening at once, but we don't need to worry about unraveling or unearthing all the layers. We just start somewhere, and that gets the ball rolling. So I'm going to walk you through a few current examples from my life, but first I'm just going to move over to the model on the other side, that part B. And that's where the situation is still the same. But now, and we can start, we don't have to start with thought. We can, we have mind, emotion, body here. We can dive in wherever is easiest for us. So maybe for you, you're super body centered and you know, what comes up for you first is like what's happening in your body, or perhaps it's your emotions that are easier to identify. For another person, they live more in their heads or they're dominant there. So it's the thought that's easiest to access. It doesn't matter the order in which you do this, it's just walk through the pieces or the steps. So what we can do over here is start with story, for instance, and choose for ourselves, well, what's a story I'd rather believe, or what's more true, or what could be true in this situation? We can practice paradox here, both and. Often there's more than one thing that's true at once. So, for instance, let's say the thought I'm believing about myself just randomly is I'm not good enough. Well, what's another possibility? Let's say that I really am struggling in a work project and I see that factually there are other people who are ahead of me on the journey or they're most skilled or whatever. Well, I can let that initial thought of I'm not good enough take me down or keep me out of the running. But what's another possibility, a both and possibility? I don't have to deny that factually there are other people who know how to do this. They've been doing it for longer. Maybe their skill set is more refined. That's fine. I can name that without shame or judgment, but I can also acknowledge that, and also I'm practicing, and also I want to keep learning this skill. And also, I'm proud of myself for how I'm stretching, or where I keep showing up. So, anyways, we can choose a new story or possibility to start working with just to get the ball rolling. But we might instead also think, okay, well, instead, how do I want to feel? Let's say that I've been feeling a lot of fear and anxiety or shame. We could use that new story and notice how those feelings start to shift on their own. Or instead, we could just start playing with, let's say, I've mentioned how I choose mind, body, spirit, intentions for my year. 3 to 5 words that describe who and how I choose to be in the world. I choose those at my birthday every year, and I use those to help guide me in my behavior and my choices throughout the year ahead. So if I wanted to here for a shifted emotion or feeling, I could think, hey, how do I want to feel in my body and life right now? And one of the my mind, body, spirit intentions this year is valued. I am valued. I feel valued. So I'm valuing myself. I'm holding an expectation of being valued in my relationships, et cetera. So I could instead go there and say, okay, well, here's the situation that hasn't changed. I want to feel valued. I am valued. What happens to the story I'm believing when I'm valued? How do I behave when I'm valued? So we could work from that point. Or we could go to our what's happening in our body. So I could notice that, okay, there's all this anxiety and the emotion is anxiety, and what happens in my body? Well, this can be trickier. Actually, I don't want to get bogged down here just because there's some nuance. So instead, why don't we just jump to the action? So a shifted behavior or action. So when I believe a new story that, yes, other people know how to do this, they're more skilled than me, and also I'm really proud of myself for showing up because this is something I want. How do I behave? Well, I rest and I make sure that I'm regulating my nervous system, taking good care of myself, getting good sleep, but I keep showing up. Maybe on a more practical level, I set time blocks and I guard those time blocks because I really value myself and my work. And I just keep practicing being with the discomfort, but I show up anyway, imperfectly, but on purpose. Okay, so I've explained it really imperfectly, but it's a motto that we can just like, I have a worksheet that I offer and we just kind of go through it over and over. It's worthwhile writing down the steps because it's hard to do this in our heads at first. We need to get out of our heads actually and witness this on paper to really see what's happening, see the root cause, see how it spills over into our relationships or work life or whatever, so that then we can say, okay, now what? How do I want to take one imperfect step forward? But ultimately, even though I'm using this model, this shift your experience model or exercise, what I'm really just practicing is the same old, a practice of or a cycle of self-awareness, self-compassion, imperfect action over and over and over. So as we do this, and we just keep showing up curious and showing up with compassion to our lives, what needs to be attended to will rise to the surface. We don't always have to go digging deep. There are times in our lives where it's worthwhile to set aside time and resources and attention to say, look, I need to heal this part of my life. Maybe we get a therapist and we go deep into some trauma healing. Maybe it's some, we set aside time for the grief that needs to be attended to as we're healing from profound loss in our lives. But we don't need to live there full time. And in fact, if we want to live with joy, if we want to thrive forward, and I am committed to both, then we can't set up camp in the pain. That pain deserves attention, it deserves space, but it doesn't get to take over our whole lives. If we're in early grief or we're in early stage of PTSD or trauma or a really significant life transition, it might take up a lot of space and attention. That doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. But if we're 5 years out or 4 years out, as an example, just to throw out an example because our circumstances are so unique, but let's just say, well, I'll just use me. So post-trauma, I'm at 4.5 years after the death of my child. And by the way, there's no rule. Like, there is not a rule for this, right? So I'm just talking about my own story. But so for me, my own unique story with the resourcing I have in my life, because, the resources that we have, the community we have, the access to different forms of support, et cetera, or safety in our life, that's going to influence what we, our capacity. So I'm at 4.5 years after. And if I was still stuck in, or not stuck, because that sounds like a judgment, if I was still in the place of survival mode or like barely functioning or drinking myself to sleep at night, that would be problematic for me. It wasn't problematic back then. It wasn't. I was surviving. I was doing exactly what I needed to do. But 4.5 years out, I want to be in a bit of a freer place. So why was I saying that? I don't even remember. Let's see. Self-awareness, self-compassion, imperfect action. I actually can't remember what brought me here, so I'm just going to have to jump ahead. What was I wanting to say? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me. All right. So we practice and it becomes more instinctual. And then as we kind of resolve one layer or we expand into a new season, then we're ready to hear something new. Oh, I think I know. So there are seasons where most of our attention is on the healing or the pain or resolving it or whatever. And then there's seasons where it's there. We give some space to it, but maybe 80% and then 90% of our waking hours and hopefully our sleeping hours are going towards moving forward, not digging up or looking back. So we just keep plodding forward, doing what we know to do. And as something needs to be attended, it will rise to the surface. That's kind of where I started. And so it's from that place that I'm going to share a few examples that I've touched on. One of them, I can't remember, but at least one of them is new for sure. And I'm just going to offer those up as quick examples. I'm not going to go deep into them because that isn't the point. But what I do want to model is that the work is never done. All of us have stories operating in our lives or patterns. And if we're a growth-minded human, a curious human, we want, we like a growth edge, or we just believe that we get to keep growing as long as we have breath within us. If you, that's your stance, then you're my people. Then it's natural, right? We're just like, we know the work isn't done. That's not to fear. That's actually a really beautiful thing because it reminds us we don't have to worry, panic about getting all the stuff done today. We have a lifetime ahead of us. And then when it feels like right now, admittedly, I'm in a new season of doing relational growth or work. And I can see this kind of mountain ahead of me. And there's moments where it feels daunting. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, and I can just remind myself, well, all I have to do is attend to today. Trust that if this is coming to the surface, it's for my freedom and joy. So it's okay that, I just take one step and then another. So it can help alleviate urgency and anxiety and help me trust the process. And actually, what's really important to me is also enjoy each day, right? Not get so focused on the work, so to speak, that it pulls me out of just being here fully present and receiving the gift of this day. Okay, so I do want to say that every single one of us has stuff to do. Your therapist, your pastor, your coach, your doctor, your mentor, your sister, your parent, your best friend, your neighbor, every single one of us. There is not a human alive that doesn't have stuff to do, work to do in their lives. Whether or not they can attend to it or will attend to it is a different story. And it's not about judgment. It's just that we're here in this messy world. And, if we're breathing, then we've got work to do. Even I believe the most enlightened person, the Dalai Lama, the, whatever, like people full of wisdom, it's like they're still human. Every person will still encounter new circumstances they haven't met before that will challenge them and call them to growth. And that's a really beautiful thing. But it can also remind us, like, be careful about the comparison game, be careful about putting people on pedestals. Or believing the story that somebody else has life all figured out because, that's just not real. So be kind to yourself, be kind to others, be kind to yourself. We're all in progress. So let's see. So one thing I shared, I know I shared maybe even last episode about how, one of the more recent stories that's come up in the past months around in my parenting was where I recognize, okay, I've been parenting from this fear, wanting to control a bit, not realizing that that's where my actual behavior was rooted. But it makes sense. And I've talked to other parents who've lost children, and this is just a normal thing. We parent from a place of fear because we're so afraid of losing another child. But a lot of us as parents parent from a place of fear and anxiety. We might kind of be trying to micromanage. We might be trying to control in some way. Some are overt, some are subtle, but it can be really freeing to start to loosen our grip and learn a new way of behaving, especially as our children become late teens and young adults and then grow into their adulthood. Yeah, okay, so how do I want to do this? So I'm just going to say, so self-awareness, the awareness rises up. That's great. We can walk through this pattern of what's the story? What am I feeling? What do I notice in my body? And how do these things work together to influence my behavior? I've touched before where like just looking at somebody's behavior doesn't necessarily tell us a lot about them or help us. Like if we're like, so if I'm working with somebody, if I just focus on surface behavior, I might miss the mark because what I'm really curious about is what's driving the behavior, right? So what's the story? What's the somatic experience? What's the thing underneath the behavior? So that's why I talk about sometimes like unearthing or finding the roots, or even just watering new seeds to kind of overcrowd the weeds, so to speak. But sometimes we need to come upon or discover the tap root, that big, deep thing that's really driving a lot of our life. We might not be able to do that on our own. It might not be safe to do it on our own. And so again, like, build a safe support system, right? So there, anyway, I'm not going to go there again, but I think if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I'm a believer in this. So gather in your support system, be wise. But you know, I will say I've used a lot of different types of support, and I'm grateful that I've had access and I've been brave enough to give myself permission to receive support, ask for and receive it. And also, I'm a really intuitive person and self-directed, and I do a lot of this work on my own. So, you know, even, you know, so I'll just say that a lot of this we can do on our own if we keep showing up curious and build the safety into our lives through self-compassion above all. Okay, so there's this parenting thing. So, you know, I noticed that the story and the belief here is, or actually for me, like if I was looking at the situation, I noticed that something wasn't quite working anymore in my parenting my daughters. I don't even remember right now what the clue was, but I would observe that neutrally. And then I would kind of just get curious about things and hold a question almost and go about my life until wisdom was able to surface. I noticed first probably a behavior more than the underlying thought. So I'm on that part A of my shift your experience model or exercise. I noticed that some of the behaviors that I was doing, like giving them a lot of money or I can't think right now. I don't want to dwell too much there because of time, but what I noticed was all of a sudden I had the insight that, oh, that's coming from a place of control. That surprised me because I had no idea. I didn't see myself as a controlling person in my parenting. So, but that thought came up so I could get curious again, bring compassion to that because there was some grief that came up. I noticed the grief, that was the emotion. Then I noticed that, oh, the story is, I might lose another child. I can't lose another child. And then I could start to notice how, you know, it shows up in my body, etc. I know that this is not freeing. This is not working for me or my daughters anymore. It worked for a while. It was okay in those first years after my son died. And now I was ready, and I believe they need me also to loosen my grip and to begin to practice a different way of parenting so that I'm believing in them, in their wisdom, in their strength, in their capacity to meet life challenges, instead of living with such intense fear that I have to protect them or else something bad is going to happen. So, you know, I see the awareness, I bring compassion to it, and now I can go over to that second part of the model, which is all about imperfect action or now what? What do I do with this awareness? And I'm not going to walk through that other side. I'm just going to say, then for me personally, I identify, okay, what are one, two, or three concrete ways that I can start to practice a new possibility? So, for instance, I could pause between impulse and response. When they share something about their life or how they're feeling, and I notice that anxiety come up in my body, I don't react or respond immediately. I create a pause so I can regulate and get curious about what's coming up for me. I can bring compassion to that first so that I can respond from a place of freedom and trust instead. That's just one little example, but I'm going to move on. With a relationship pattern, I noticed that some of my, I have a lifelong story of rejection in my life. So And I have been hurt and rejected, or that's my perception. That's the meaning I've attached to certain experiences. But again, it doesn't mean it's full truth or it's truth for the other person or anything. And that really doesn't matter. But I can observe that this is the story. I've been living with a story of rejection for most of my life. If I am too vulnerable, I am not accepted. If I trust people, that trust is broken, they choose other people, etc. Like there's all these different examples. If you want to explore that, by the way, we're going to be doing that in the Brave and Beautiful community this spring session. It might be too late by the time you hear this, but I'm recording this Thursday, April 11th, and tomorrow, April 12th, Friday at kind of end of day, I'm closing down the registration. So there's a couple days here left to join us, and I think there's about six spaces left, maybe. Anyways, but you could just do this on your own as well. Start getting curious, or take it into therapy, or whatever, or explore it with a friend, or a family member that you trust. So I noticed this pattern. I've noticed this lifelong story. I've done some work, but I still see that it's at play. And I didn't go looking for it, but I noticed that it's time to start attending to this in a new way, go a little bit deeper, because I can still see that in conflict sometimes, what I do is if something's going on and I can kind of witness the other person's behavior, their monkey business at play, I will automatically withdraw. I have a belief that I'll lose anyway. They won't choose me anyway. So why bother? So I'll just like remove myself from the situation to avoid getting hurt. It's hard to share this, guys, but I believe in being vulnerable, when we're ready, when we feel safe enough and with wisdom, but I feel safe here to share this stuff. Just to, we all have stuff at play. And so in my very real life, like over the next few months with the members of the B&B community and also just on my own in the background, I'm going to be doing some work in this area to write a new story around this, to see what happens, how so fast in my body I have this reaction or this sort of freeze response, and then I go kind of into this like shutdown, this withdrawal, and it's all kind of rooted in this story of rejection. It means that sometimes I've walked away from relationships too early. Or I've carried hurt. I'm not carrying this hurt anymore, which is great because I've done all this work, but I have carried a lot of pain in my body and in my mind around re a rejection story. And now it's time to shift. Now it's time to open myself up to a new possibility, a new hopeful or joyful possibility that what And look for new ways that if I start to feel this in my body, if I start to hear this story, what could I do instead? So, in a very real relationship in my life, one thing I was able to do in this season was to not just run, but to create some space and to ask this person if they'd be willing to hold some space so that I could take space and I'm going to do some work over here instead of just end the relationship, see if we can work towards repair together in freedom, in joy, but also really being very honest and clear about the type of relationships that I expect or I want in my life. So, anyways, a third example that I'm going to offer. Self-awareness, self-compassion, and perfect action. Ooh, this was interesting. Now, this is a little vulnerable also. If you might not get this. If you do not have a religious background, this might not make sense to you. It may sound super weird. However, if you, like me, have a religious background, you might know exactly what I'm talking about. So, I have been unraveling layers a story attached to my ability to write or just use my voice in a more powerful way in the world. A lot of stuff. And one thing that took me by surprise just this week, so it's fresh, but again, safety first. I feel safe. I am safe. I'm resourced. I'm doing my work. I'm good to share. If I wasn't feeling safe or resourced, I wouldn't share this yet, just so that you know. Okay. So safety first. What came up for me, again, I didn't have to go looking for it because I'm in a season of thriving forward. I'm just doing my work, living out my values, etc., noticing what comes up. And this rose to the surface. And it's the story that I'm not, that one of the, it was a really positive, helpful awareness that one of the things that's keeping me from writing is the belief that if I use my voice, I become a target and I'm not safe. But what's underneath that is that I'm turning 53 in the summer. My mom, my beautiful mama, died at 53. Cancer took her out. She had cancer 10 years before, but at the end, cancer started in her mouth. I'm giving you a few details because it's relevant to the story. Cancer started in her mouth as skin cancer, eventually metastasized. Went throughout her skull and different parts of her body. The story went that Satan killed her. Satan stole her voice. Now, that's a pretty powerful story. I wasn't even thinking about this. I'm conscious always that I'm in this, but my mom died young at 53, and I'm in that age, and I've always had some stuff around that. But I did not know that this story was living there. It was an eye opener. I know that it's going to be freeing and I have some work to do around it. But the story goes that Satan killed my mom, stole her voice. Religious trauma. So again, I'm just being open. A lot of us, though, live with this type of upbringing and story. So it makes sense that. That I just want to read my own notes. So I have to protect my family. So what I recognized was somatically and emotionally, there's this terror, remnants or echoes of terror from that experience. She died 20, I think it's almost 20, this fall will be 22 years. So that's a long time. But again, like I've gone through terror also with the loss of a child and the details around that. So what's cool here is that the story came up. Self-awareness, I could see that this story was at play. It surprised me. I was able to walk through, bring lots of tenderness. I had some tears. I wrote out some notes, brought a lot of compassion. I will continue to do so. As I feel the feels, unpack this, get some support as needed, do my own work in the background, share it with one or two friends. I actually shared it with one friend and keep moving forward. And so imperfect action, I'm going to open up to a new hopeful and joyful possibility. Just as a starting point, I'm not my mom. I love her. There's pieces of her in me, there's characteristics, but I'm also similar to my dad and I'm my own person. And I've done so much healing work that they were not able to do, just lack of resources, etc., different circumstances. I am not my mom. And so anyways, I'm not going to tell you the end of this story, except that I believe it's going to be a beautiful, hopeful story. But I wanted to share with you that this stuff can be deep. It can be painful. It can be vulnerable and it can go far back. So interestingly, I think this is one of the taproots that's been holding me back in using my voice. And so it's going to be also part of a new beautiful story. Okay, I want to end there. So I invite you to just get excited with me for the next season when we start to talk about old stories, new possibilities. And I think that maybe half of the episodes of the next season will be interviews with other women in the middle season of life who do their own type of work around helping women and of course for themselves, because I'm only interested in talking with people who are also doing their own work. So, but they are writing new stories, or they're lifting up women, or they're helping people write new stories or to explore a new possibility. This is a lot of the work that I do, really, is like noticing the conditioning, noticing the noise. That's all the old stories, and helping women see new possibilities, release attachment to those old ways of being, those old stories, and recognize that just because it was that way doesn't mean it has to continue to be that way. That even if we've walked in one pattern for decades, it doesn't mean that's our future. We have agency to choose. We have tools and resources, and we have permission also to choose and walk out and practice as messily as needed a new hopeful and joyful possibility for our futures. It's just an incredible, I have goosebumps as I say that. All right. Imperfect action. You could just test this out for yourself. Again, just write down like this, even just the cycle of self-awareness, self-compassion, and perfect action. Maybe look for a way in your own life right now, place of friction or anxiety, or where you're unhappy or dissatisfied or something, and see if you can set aside a bit of time and use that cycle and just see what comes up for you. And invitation again, 2 days left to join my spring session of the B&B. I have two coaching spaces open in this season. And you could reach out, or maybe just check out what I offer in case you're curious for the future. Otherwise, I will be back. I'm going to take a few week break, and I'll be back on May 9th for episode one of the new podcast season. Thanks for being here with me as I practice imperfectly showing up with a little bit more consistency. And I'm not where I want to be with that. I'm having a lot of procrastination still because I can talk about things for hours and days, but somehow when I'm showing up to this podcast, my mind goes blank. Like, I always have stuff to talk about, and then all of a sudden I'm like, freeze. So it's a work in progress, but I'm just loving myself as I keep practicing. All right, until next time, I invite you to make peace with messiness to make space for joy. See ya. See you next time.